are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here from the Locked On Big 12 podcast. On today's show, we're hitting on the 10 most exciting storylines, 10 biggest storylines as we head into the Big 12 season, less than a week away now. Make sure you guys follow us on YouTube here, subscribe, give us thumbs up, and also comment on the videos. Got to get some great feedback, and you guys also give me a lot of ideas. Actually, a couple of our commenters yesterday talking about Texas kind of give me some inspiration for something that we're going to talk about today. So feel free to comment, leave us your thoughts on these videos, leave us thumbs up. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Locked On Big 12 podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you all get your podcasts from. You can follow me on Twitter at Josh Neighbors. You can follow the show at LO Big 12. And I'm going to put up this graphic that is for my Twitter as I flip over here. You already see what our first headline is going to be. So let's just get it going at this point. And also, if you or anybody you know is in the path of Hurricane Ida right now, we are thinking of you all, right now. And we hope everybody is doing the best they can. I know it's a tough situation down there right now, really a bad situation. So we're thinking of all of you who are involved right now and sending our thoughts and our best wishes with all of you. All right, so let's get to it. The number one storyline as we head into the season, I wish it wasn't true, but it is true. It's conference realignment. Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC was the biggest storyline of the offseason. No doubt about that. And it's going to be a storyline this season because they're going to have the pressure to perform, obviously, right now. The conference is in a weird spot. They're looking to expand. We know this from reporting right now. How long will Oklahoma and Texas stay? And that will be based on a few factors. The lawyers are going to get involved in that front. And I'm no expert in the legal world, so you know, let's see how that plays out. Once again, will the Big 12 expand? Will other conferences expand? We saw the alliance, which isn't much of an alliance and potentially is just a voting block for the college football playoff, but how will that play out? And then also the college football playoff side of things. You know, think about the college football playoff. We thought expansion was coming, but this seems to have changed things. And ultimately, I do believe we are going to get college football playoff expansion. But what does it look like? How many teams and how do you qualify? Those are all huge questions that are going to have to be answered. And this has an impact. ROU in Texas, the SEC, the first blocks or first movements. And what is a movement towards kind of a super league? We saw Greg Sankey. I've talked about this a bunch, but he read the book. I forget what it was called. Maybe it's called The Club. I'm not positive, but it's about the Premier League in England, their soccer, how that was formed. And I know, you know, some of you may not be fans, but that is very much a structure of the haves and the have-nots, and their TV contracts have made the top clubs millions and millions and potentially billions of dollars and allowed them to become these super teams. Will that happen? I know we already have kind of an iteration of that right now, but are we going towards, you know, a class system where it's just one big league at the top? Will there be some relegation, right? These could be steps in all of those directions. Some people never thought we'd see a BCS championship game. Some people never thought we'd see the playoff. Some people never thought we'd see playoff expansion this soon. All of these things have happened. So it feels like nothing is off the table. And that is because of Oklahoma and Texas making that move. So it feels like there's so much that's possible right now. And that's because of these two. And then as it pertains to them on the actual field, they're going to be catching a lot of flack on the road this year. Obviously going to be catching a lot of attention. If they lose, you know, if Oklahoma loses to Kansas State again, people will be saying, oh, they're not going to be able to hang. You know, Ole Miss would catch them, Mississippi State would catch them, in addition to losing to LSU and Florida and Alabama and Texas. You know, if they lose a couple games, say, oh no, they're going, people will be saying, oh no, they're going 6-6, whatever. John Williams, host of Locked On Sooners, was on this podcast last week, and he said, please God, whatever it is, don't let us lose to an SEC team. We're never going to hear the end of it. And whether it's right or wrong, that's just kind of the situation. But I think that adds an extra layer of excitement. I know in the long run, it's not great for the health of the conference, but that's just the reality at this point in time. Also, speaking of health, the conference doing alive and well. We got the flag back there right now, so hope you guys like that. But that's number one storyline. The second storyline to me has got to be Oklahoma. Is it their year? We've heard so much about this team. And once again, I was at that Peach Bowl in 2019 in Atlanta, and I saw the size discrepancy, the talent discrepancy between Oklahoma's defense and LSU's defense, and also Oklahoma's defense going up against the LSU offense. They've done their best to fix those things with, you know, Isaiah Thomas and Perrion Winfrey. They look like they're going to be a really tough group up front, one of the best fronts that they've had in a while. And so I'm curious to see what that defense is going to do. And I think the offense might pick up right where they left off. We've been hearing some spectacular things about Mario Williams, Super Mario, the freshman at Oklahoma. Can he come in and already bolster what is a loaded receiving core, right, with Marvin Mims and Theo Weiss, Austin Stogner at the tight end spot? You got Jaden Hazelwood, too, also a wide receiver. One big question for Oklahoma, though, right now is the running backs. They've got two guys on scholarship, whether it be Trey Bradford transferring back to LSU or Marcus Majors, you know, not being eligible. This team now only has Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray at running back. That's great. That's an awesome tandem to have. But the problem then becomes, what happens if a guy gets injured? You know, are you going to have to go give Jeremiah Hall, the fullback, some carries? I know they've got obviously some guys that are they've got some guys in the backfield that are walk-ons. So we'll see what happens for them. But right now, not a good situation at running back for Oklahoma. But they've got Spencer Rattler under center. They've got Lincoln Riley at the coaching. We'll see what happens with the offensive line. I know it's a question. Obviously, they lose their leader in the middle in Creed Humphrey as he goes to Kansas City. But there are some questions there for Oklahoma. But they look stacked and they look loaded. And there's a chance with the Tulane stuff happening right now, they won't play a road game until they play Kansas State on October 2nd. So they might have a chance to really get a runway and get off going well into the season. Third biggest storyline of the year is, will Iowa State win the Big 12? I almost put on my rundown, can Iowa State win the Big 12? It's not the right question to ask, right? We know they can. We saw them last year, Iowa State in the fourth quarter, have a chance to go down and win the game against Oklahoma. But Brock Purdy throws an interception. You could say, well, that's why they can't. But to me, that just shows you they were right there and they're going to bring back that entire team besides Jaquan Bailey coming back this season. Matt Campbell obviously is back, and that team, we know they're going to be strong. They're going to get tested week two against Iowa. That's going to be a huge game. It's going to be a very telling game. It's an important game too, because if they were to lose to Iowa and potentially beat Oklahoma the second time, let's just say they lose to Oklahoma the first time and go on to be in the Big 12 championship game, a two-loss Iowa State probably does not make the playoffs. So that's huge for the conference for them to get that win. It's going to be a top 20 matchup, a top 25 matchup, depending on how Iowa's first game of the season goes. But that's a huge game. We know it's going to be a huge game, and this team needs to show they can beat Iowa before they can kind of make statements throughout the conference season. It's the one team, you know, if you're telling me about the pressure on Oklahoma or Iowa State, I'm more worried about Iowa State because of their quarterback play. I'm not sold on Brock Purdy as a pro prospect. I'm a little worried about the arm strength and some of the decision-making, and it feels like he struggled to become that guy again that he was as a freshman. So Iowa State, they can win the Big 12. I definitely think they can do it. But will they is the big question. That game against Iowa is going to decide how their season ends up. They've never won 10 games. Iowa State's never actually had a 10-win season. They could beat Iowa and go on to have a 10-win season, but that's not really their goal. Their goal is to compete for a Big 12 championship and compete to make the playoff, to be honest. And they've got to beat Iowa, I think, early on to prove to themselves that they can actually do that. They can compete to win to get to the college football playoff. All right, we will keep going with our top 10, but first, a word from our sponsors. Guys, if you're like me right now with no AC, you know, you might have some issues with sweating, which I currently am. And you know what I should get right now and you all should get too? Sweat Block Wipes. They're doctor created. They're doctor recommended. They work up to 7 days. They have a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. They've been featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. They're a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years with over 13,000 reviews, and they're manufactured in the good old U.S. of A. You can find them today at CVS or Amazon, or you can go to sweatblock.com and use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for 20% off today. Once again, sweatblock.com, promo code Locked On. All right, storyline number four. Steve Sarkisian, the era of him as the Texas head coach, begins this weekend against Louisiana. So the point I wanted to bring up about the quarterback stuff, because I posted a video yesterday about this, is that the fact that Stark had a quarterback battle is not what scares me. And a couple commenters said, well, he's had quarterback battles before. I don't really understand your point. The fact that on August 14th, he was publicly challenging his quarterbacks in August about their performances shows you that he was not yet comfortable with a guy. Not the idea that, you know, he could have been fronting, could have been classic coach speak, but he was not yet comfortable with either of his quarterbacks, according to him. So, you know, I'm not going to try to parse his language here. He made it clear to us that he wasn't confident in his quarterbacks. And look, I like the idea of a public challenge, but that does concern me as you head into week one against a team that is organized and prepared as Billy Napier's Louisiana group is going to be. And look, both those guys are going to play. I'm not interested in the feeling out process if I'm a Texas fan in that first game. I just want to stick with the guy and roll the dice and see what happens. He goes with Hudson Card. And this is all to go to my big point that, look, neither of these guys are quarterbacks that he chose. Yes, he made the comment before the season. Part of the reason he took this job is because of the quarterbacks. All right, sure. But these aren't quarterbacks that he has recruited and gotten in there just yet. Those guys aren't here. And we know his best connection is the quarterback. Now, on defense, really excited to see what they can do. They're athletic. They're talented. And they've got Pete Kwiatkowski, who I really think is a great coordinator. Got him from Washington and paid him a handsome penny to get him in there. So I'm excited about that. But this is going to be such an exciting era, especially with the move to the SEC. Let's see what direction Sark gets it in. And I'm not interested in judging him really early on. I'm really not. I think fans have to give him more time to build this program, to recruit and build the offense that he wants to build. Because right now, I think the only really truly reliable thing we feel like we've got on this Texas offense is Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson in the backfield. So Steve Sarkisian, his era begins with this game against ULL. I'm very fascinated to see. But the quarterback stuff, I think it is fair to ask questions. I don't think I'm being, you know, I'm not in the minority here. You know, I work on Big 12 shows, SiriusXM, and, work obviously on the ESPN channel at SiriusXM too. There are questions about this and about how long it took for him to name his starting quarterback. The only other job, as I said yesterday, the only other job in the Big 12 that has not been named is Kansas, and that's because Lance Leipold really didn't get a good look at his quarterbacks until much later on. All right, number five. Who will be number three? So there are a bunch of teams in that middle range vying for that third spot. Texas, Oklahoma State, TCU, and West Virginia, to me, are the three teams that I feel very confident in to vie for that third spot. I think those are the best prepared teams to do so. To me, I'm kind of leaning towards Oklahoma State. They've had a ton of reps, according to Mike Gundy, with all of the spring practice they had. I mean, they did a bunch of live scrimmaging and live reps in spring ball. And Mike Gundy was telling us about it, and he feels really confident about the way Spencer Sanders has grown. I know he could say that, but Shane Illingworth is there, a guy with some experience. They wanted to go that way. But if you guys follow this channel at all, you guys know that I'm a Spencer Sanders fan. I think the mental errors, if he can cut some of them out, he's such a talented quarterback that he could make it. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter at the next level, but he's got great arm strength. He's a guy who can zip the ball. He can move around as well. But it's that decision-making, because there are times where he makes good decisions, and there are times like the Texas game last year where he made a whole bunch of really bad ones. So taking care of the football and maintaining that offense is big key, because they're not going to be able to hit big plays and rely on guys like Chuba and Tylan Wallace in the way that they were able to in the past. They're going to have to establish themselves, I think, as more balanced offense. And so I like them right now to be that number three team. TCU, I've got a lot of questions about Max Duggan. I've got a lot of questions about TCU's intermediate passing game and how far that has come along. And that's going to dictate how far that team can go, because I think it's going to be another strong year for them on defense, West Virginia. They've got Chandler Worth. They've got Jared Daigie, obviously coming back quarterback. I'm not super confident in him. And they've got to replace Tyke Smith on that defense. Obviously, they lose Tony Fields to the NFL as well, so they got to replace him. Letty Brown's coming back. They need some pass catchers to emerge for them, too, if they want to continue to kind of go on this upward trajectory. But I do trust the coaching. I really think Neil Brown's a good coach. I'm just not sure the quarterback play is going to be there for them when it's all said and done. Then Texas, you know, I'm not too keen on Texas taking that third spot. I think with the talent they have, they're going to have the best shot to do it. But there's a chance their season could get off to a rocky start. And I think there is some serious growth that will happen at Texas this year. I think it's positive. And we saw Oklahoma last year. Growth occurred last year for Oklahoma, despite their 1-2 start. And that was maybe the best thing for them. Spencer Rattler getting benched maybe was the best thing for him. So I think Texas facing some adversity might be the best thing for them. But there's a chance they could grab that third spot. I know it's kind of going both ways. I would lean towards more of the learning process and this Texas team looking better at the end of the season than they do towards the beginning. And luckily for them, obviously you play non-conference games first. So maybe that they hit that stride later on in the year, and that means they're in that third place and they are trying to make that jump for a spot in the playoff, a spot in the Big 12 championship game. But I don't think so. I think it's going to be Oklahoma State. I think a year after being very disappointing, all those expectations, they get a full year, full practices, full spring under their belts. I think they're the team I'm looking at to go and take that third spot. But, you know, you can make it. There is an argument to be made for all four of those teams that I had just mentioned. One more word from our sponsors on today's show. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game today. Go to builtbar.com and check out all of the available flavors now, a bunch that they've got there. And I promise you guys, there is something for everybody. Coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. 17 grams of protein, 130 to 180 grams calories, rather, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com today. Once again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Today's show is also brought to you by betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the best place for all of your sports gaming needs. NFL Super Contest, Eliminator Pool, all of those things are available at BetOnline right now. You can go and sign up. It's free to do. You can do it on your iPhone. You can do it on your tablet. You can do it on your computer. All of those places you sign up. Once again, it's free to do. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for a deposit bonus as well. BetOnline, they are your online sportsbook experts. Next one, the backs are back. Here's what we got. I did some numbers, did some number crunching on the running backs we're going to get back this year. Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray are two guys who have been over 1,000 yards. Brooks, a two-time 1,000-yard rusher. He's had 2,000-yard seasons. Eric Gray on a bad Tennessee team is a career 1,000-yard rusher. Brees Hall last year, 1,500 yards plus and 21 touchdowns. Bijan plus Roshan last year combined for over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. And Bijan Robinson, we all know about the gross misuse of him last year. Desmond Jackson, and LD Brown, almost 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. But those guys are back. Kendre Miller and Zach Evans, both 50-plus carries, both guys who were over 7 yards per carry. That's really impressive, and they're going to lean on that group in addition to Max Duggan, some in the running game, and I think they want to transition more to leaning on those backs. Letty Brown, 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. So Roger Thompson was 500-plus yards and 8 TDs last year. And Deuce Vaughn, he was 1,000 yards from the scrimmage and 9 touchdowns. So, look, the quarterbacks have a lot of work to do. They've got some jumps that need to be made. The running backs, those guys are going to be relied on very heavily to help out those quarterbacks, to establish the run, and to build some play action for some of these teams and give some kind of cushion, if you will, so the quarterbacks can maybe have less attention on them. I think a lot of teams are going to be trying to stop these backs, and that'll allow some openings and allow some of these quarterbacks to potentially take those next steps and actually beat some teams, right? Because who are you most scared of right now? You know, if you're playing West Virginia, I'm saying, hey, Jared Daigie, beat me. You know, that's kind of the approach that I would take. I'd take the same approach right now towards Texas as well. So I think the backs being back is actually going to take a lot of pressure off some of these quarterbacks. Number seven, does Gary Patterson still have it? Gary Patterson, after an 11-3 season in 2017, has been 18-17 since. He's 12-15 in the league since that stretch of time. So last three seasons, 12-15. I know we think the defense is going to be good. I know that they retooled the offensive line, but I think there's a lot of questions for this TCU team. And, you know, I think Gary Patterson might get to go out on his own terms, but if he wants to make a statement and kind of say he's back, you know, they've got a chance to do it. They can vie for that third spot. But I think there's some serious questions about him right now. All right. Which QBs will stand out? So this is the middle pack. This is, you know, from Brock Purdy and Spencer Rattler down. Will Carter Thompson stand out? Will Max Duggan take the next step? Spencer Sanders, clean up his act. Jared Daigie, Max Duggan, Tyler Shuck at Texas Tech, right? Gary Bohannon. All of these guys, and Skylar Thompson, I actually feel pretty solid about just because, you know, if he's feeling good after the injury, he's a really solid quarterback, so I feel like kind of know what to expect from him. But can all those guys I listed, can they make that next step? Can they take that next leap and help their teams? And I think, once again, with the running back stuff, those guys are going to have some chances to, with the way things might open up, with all the focus it's going to be on a lot of these backs this year. Finish up these here real quick. Matt Wells, can he save his job? So it felt like there was a dicey moment last year where Kirby Hokut might have pulled the plug, but they get rid of offensive coordinator Yost and they bring in Sonny Cumbie. They bring in Tyler Shuck. They've got a decent offense. Big question for them, obviously, is going to be on defense. So they've got a huge game with Houston and a chance to get off their season to the right foot. But this is the year for Matt Wells. They have to make a bowl game. And go back last week, Robbie Triano and I talked about this. You guys can go check out that video on the channel. We previewed the teams that were picked to finish 6-10 in the Big 12. And we talked a lot about Texas Tech and kind of the expectations for them heading towards the season and what Matt Wells' group needs to do. But I think that is a huge storyline because his seat out of all the Big 12 coaches is by far the hottest. Number 10, do Dave Aranda and Chris Klieman need to be careful? This one I kind of put together, there was a lot of good feeling about Chris Klieman last year when they beat Oklahoma, but that kind of feeling that dissipated because they lost a bunch of games, they lost a bunch of players. And so there are a lot of questions being asked. Dave Aranda's first year wasn't stellar. I think he's got a bit more time. That was almost like a year zero for him. But those two guys, the next guys, if things go south, and I think potentially they could for both those coaches this year, what do their futures hold? Where do they kind of fit in? What do the schools think of them, especially in this time of transition? I'm not sure that, you know, this might be the right time to fire your coach if you feel like a transition might happen with the conference or whatever. Try to get somebody else new in there. Or you could say, hey, look, I just want to play it safe. I want to keep our coach. So I think this could go a couple of ways. But I think Dave Aranda and Chris Klieman have a lot that needs to be thought about depending on how their seasons go in their future. So both those guys, to me, not on the hot seat, not even close to it, but could they be by year's end? All right, those are my 10 biggest storylines. Let me know what you guys think in the comments section. Subscribe, like the videos. Make sure you find us on Twitter at LOBig12. You can find me at Josh_. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.